This is the MIT team. What did you call your car?
Doesn't really have a color name. This one doesn't. It's just a Porsche battery electric vehicle.
Okay, I'm talking to
Tyler Lichty.
Spell your names, please.
Tyler and then L-I-E-C-H-T-Y.
Okay, and
Peter Lamb.
L-A-M-B?
Yeah, L-A-M-B.
Why people? It's difficult.
Yeah. You know, we're going to get it wrong. Land? Who's land?
Lamb, L-A-M-B. So, is this a class? Is this a club? Is this a...
Here comes number three.
Yeah. All right.
Pull on up.
Three Musketeers.
Yeah, your name is?
Dan. Dan Lauber.
Spell your last name, please.
L-A-U-B-E-R.
Okay, thank you. And... So the question was, is this a club, a class?
It's a club. We've interacted with one of the classes in MIT, but for the most part, it's just a club.
Which class?
It's a 2007. It's a production and design class.
Okay.
For the most part, people build robots, but this year, the class was overcrowded, and they came to us kind of wanting an outlet for people. So we took about 20 students doing projects on the car.
Okay. And... Your students, graduate students, what was your
We are
undergraduate
student.
Undergraduate students.
Undergraduates, yeah, in which majors?
Mechanical engineering.
Yeah, mechanical engineering as well.
And I'm a professional. I've been out of work for a little while, so I've been working pro bono, helping them out.
You went to MIT?
No, I went to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I've been
living Cambridge.
Yeah, I do now. I live in Cambridge now. I was I've been very interested in the whole green technology space, and Boston was a great place for that. And so I've been networking a lot and going to so many different things to do and talks and events and meetings and things. And I happened to go to one particular talk on vehicle to grid technology of being able to charge the vehicle, charge cars from the grid, but then put the electricity back into the grid as needed. And Irene, who was the president at the time, was sitting next to me, and I recognized her from another talk I had gone to. I was like, "You're on the electric vehicle team." And so we started talking cars, and she reeled me in.
Okay, so you just show up every once in a while?
Not every once in a while. He pretty much lives in the lab.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because he's free. He doesn't have to go to class. No grades involved.
For the summer, I've been pretty much the primary leader on the Porsche car.
Okay. So you're the corporate memory.
I guess so.
and about 20 other students who are...
There are 20 other members of the team, about 7 or 8 of which have been working pretty much all summer on the car.
Okay.
40 hours a week and...
The usual sort of spread.
Yeah.
Okay. So the car existed for about 3 years, you said?
Yep. It was around for about 3 years. Started driving last spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Tell me a little bit about... since we got all three of you, the componentry. What is the drive system?
It's Azure Dynamics. It's a AC 24. It's a 55 kilowatt, 3-phase AC motor, Azure motor controller. It's the stock 5-speed transmission from Porsche. Batteries are all lithium ion.
Phosphate, you said.
Lithium iron phosphate.
Lithium iron phosphate from Valence.
Yeah.
From Valence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Valence.
Okay. Yeah. I know that company. My history.
Yeah. And then we have. And then we also have, from National Instruments, a touch panel and a compact real-time computer. Right now it's just doing display and data logging functionality, but it's starting to develop into a vehicle control system.
Okay. So Azure is the follow-on company to Selectria.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And these
are basically the old Selectria componentry, the motor and the controller. Is the controller the UMOC? The software control controller?
DMOC.
They now call it DMOC?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Why a transmission on an AC car? The buzz is that you don't need it. You just need a gearbox.
It's a somewhat underpowered motor.
Do you use the transmission?
Yeah, we use the transmission. We use reverse first and second gear.
Well, three as well on the highway.
Yeah.
But, okay. Part of it, one is because it initially started as a conversion kit, which is almost been completely re-engineered over time. But that original kit used the transmission and just bolted the motor direct to the transmission.
But usually it was a DC brush motor that they used on those kits, I thought.
Yeah, this was an option. This is an option to get the AC.
Okay.
So that,
and you got regen and everything. So
yeah, got regen. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. How much do you have a sense of how much that helps on the vehicle?
I don't think we've done any controlled tests, but it's pretty significant.
On my selectory of force, it was worth about 25%.
Yeah. The efficiency of regen is about 50% of.
Yeah.
And the other 50% turns into heat anyway. But it's better than brakes, which are 100% heat. So.
Absolutely. It's a neat way to drive the car. You know,
really changes how you drive as well.
Yeah.
You anticipate things and you...
Right. You plan it. You know, I'm coming to a stop. And of course, the whole thing is you get up to a stop and then you put the brake on.
Yeah.
And do they still have the thing that basically the acceleration starts at the midpoint in the accelerator pedal?
Yeah.
All right. So that's how my force drives.
Okay.
And you've been driving it around town, and this is the... Oh, you said there were like three long trips you've done before.
Yeah, all very recently.
Well, Thursday, yesterday, and today.
Okay, but... I mean, we used to have a problem with the Tour de Sol. The people come with, vehicles that had 12 miles on them, and then the next leg was 57, They didn't always make it. So, yippee. That's cool.
Yep.
Charging. High voltage, low voltage?
Right now, the charger is built into the car. It's a 220-volt charger.
Okay.
It's
single phase.
Single phase, 220. And it charges at the high voltage, so it charges across the entire pack.
Okay.
Which is...
What's the voltage of the pack?
It's not... Technically, nominally 230. Usually, it's 240-ish.
Okay. You said 25 kilowatt hour pack?
Yeah, it's rated for 23, and it looks like it's actually 25, so...
Okay, wow.
Or our calculations are off, so...
Yeah. But if you did 120 miles, it's got to be up there. Uphill, I might add. I mean, you're going home downhill, essentially.
There's a big hill in the middle.
You gotta get up a nice big hill first.
And you got all that regen.
The second half was great.
Well, I think it was almost more efficient on those roads to not have the regen on and just...
Freewheel.
Exactly. It's always more efficient to just maintain your kinetic energy than try and convert it back and forth.
Absolutely. As long as you don't get tickets or run into anybody, that's fine.
We'll just hope the cop thinks our car is cool enough that he won't give us a ticket.
Yeah.
Has it got a lot of signage on it? Yes, it does have.
It has a bunch of the sponsors.
You kind of have to when you get donated thousands of dollars worth of batteries, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, so where do you guys, of course, you're trying to find a job. Where do you see this taking you, this sort of experience with this sort of project?
I'm definitely interested in working either with like a small startup or even going to one of the big manufacturers and kind of going there and working. But I'm definitely interested in following this vein of either electric or hybrid cars.
Do you think Azure is hiring?
What's that?
Do you think Azure is hiring?
I'm not sure. I don't know that I necessarily want to get that far down and just very specific into like electric motors, but
they're all about drive systems.
Yeah, but
and
that's a good question.
No answer yet.
Yeah, I find it interesting, but I find a lot of other things interesting too. So we'll see.
You'll see, Dan.
I had never been into cars until I joined the team, so. I've learned a ton about cars and brought my experience from industrial electronics over.
What was your background?
I double majored in electrical and software engineering, and I worked in both writing software, tracking orders, and corporate stuff, as well as engineering, manufacturing machines, and test systems. So. what I'd like is to somehow combine all that into something that, you know, makes the world better, as cliche as that may be.
Come knock on Izzer's door, maybe or Selectria. They do solar power systems, that sort of thing. What am I forgetting to ask? What do you want to tell me that I've not explored?
Should we bring up 11? I guess.
Probably.
What's 11?
So our next project is it's going to be a car that'll rapid recharge.
Mm-hmm.
It's, we're making it to compete directly against internal combustion sedan. It's going to have about a 200-mile range once we do some aero work. And
you do a massive power dump into the car to bring it back
up? Yep, it's 360 kilowatts to charge in 10 minutes. Which is a lot of power.
Yeah, well, we've seen this sort of thing before at the Tour de Sol, admittedly about 10 years ago. What are the challenges?
So one of the big challenges is just the cells we're using, it's about the size of a D-cell battery.
Yeah,
about 8,000 of them.
Oh, damn.
So the pack management is going to be the big issue.
You can't use cosmetics.
No.
They can't handle that current. So,
no.
And the whole battery management system, the battery management computers that, you know, they're great cells in their operating range, but outside that they're very unhappy, so you need to babysit them.
Oh, God, yes.
And all of those systems are proprietary protected things. And so part of what we're doing as well is that, especially as a student organization, we're not bound and we can't be bound to proprietary technology. So everything
open source, here we go.
Exactly. And so we're working on developing a battery management system that will be open source that other people can learn from and base their designs on.
Now, I will admit my prejudices against this stuff. I have do you know what a Batacheck is? It was a battery management system for large block lead acid or nickel cadmium cells. And it ideally, you would put one of these on every cell, and it would always make sure that every cell got the right charge each time, and it would measure its performance through discharge to know that, well, okay, this one's weaker, we have to treat it differently than this one, which is stronger, and we treat them. So they all start full, none over full, none under full.
Right.
And when you've got, I mean, if these are all D cells, and you've got 25 kilowatt hours, my God, I mean,
it's gonna be what are we at?
6,000 cells on this thing?
8,000
cells? So, all right. Is anyone making large plate lithium batteries?
The
cells?
They are. They're called prismatics. And they're rectangular size, and they're usually made for these larger capacity applications. And they're usually, you know, a rectangle wrapped in plastic, with no structural strength, and you're supposed to, but then they're much denser, right? They stack really nice. The problem with those is that type of arrangement can't take those really high currents for the rapid recharging, and thermally they're not quite as good as the cans. So that was kind of why we went with. It's more difficult to pull the heat out of and make a good thermal connection, as well as it's hard to get all that current in and out.
Okay.
They don't
my life is coming back to me. I was involved in all this 15 years ago.
so right now, hopefully prismatics will catch up with those cylindrical cells, but for what we're doing, we need to do the cylindrical ones. For the management, as long as there'll be blocks, I think they're going with 72 welded in parallel with each other. So functionally, as far as the battery management system is concerned,
the cells are well matched at manufacturer.
Right. Then if they're all welded in parallel, then they'll be fine. And actually, all of the data and information that we have on the cells is that
they do tend to be very well matched. The state of charge may vary when you initially get them, but as far as their internal electrical properties, they are very, very close. And one of the nice things, as well as you get more in parallel, statistically, they as long as you don't have one that's really dominating the others.
Right.
Otherwise, you end up with a much more stable pack, because all of the anomalies from one cell to another are canceled out across a large number.
Well, boy, that was a side trip. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to tell me? Okay. Well, I wish you great luck tomorrow.
Thank you.